So anyway, you found your clip for the opening of the show to get this show taken off the air forever.
Everyone, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
This is episode 255, our question and answer follow-up. Didn't get that memo,
okay.
Ian?
My first question is, why? Why are we doing that so soon? That seems like a bad idea.
It's 255. It's a 5. It's divisible by 5. Like 250 is divisible by 5.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it's time to do that again.
Dave, can you drive 55?
Can I drive 55?
Yeah.
I'm not that old yet.
Okay, fair enough. And that's how the show starts. You can turn off now. There's no reason to
Why
keep
would
listening.
They turn off this show after
way,
such charming banter between the two of us?
I want to be honest with everybody here. I'm not in North America.
What?
While this is playing, because I am in France right mm-hmm. now while yep. this is going on.
Okay.
And so far, hopefully so good. We'll see.
Haven't met any rude French people?
It's very far away, France.
And you're going to odd places. You're not going to Paris. You're going to Marseille.
Yeah, Dijon, where the mustard comes from.
I've heard that.
Where they decided yellow mustard ain't the way to go.
Very wrong.
Really weird brown mustard.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Listen, I would bash Dijon mustard more, but I got to be there, and someone might listen to this, and
it's
I don't want
enough.
No trouble. I got to get out of...
What about
honey
Dijon? Are you okay with honey
That's
Dijon?
Nice. I like a little honey mm-hmm. Dijon. Yeah, but honey makes most things better, right? Honey makes sure. Cough drops better, and mm-hmm. that's nuts.
Makes bees better.
It does make bees better. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
We wouldn't think half of much of them as we do if they didn't have honey.
I wonder if we just like their wax, I suppose. And their their but well, and also
they're always minding it.
We would also yes. yeah, mind their beeswax. Also, we would really like the fact that they let plants live with their pollination, otherwise we'd all die.
Yeah.
So it's hooray for bees. I wonder if there'll be any French bees.
Yes, there are French bees.
Good. I hope to meet some when I'm there. Anyway, the show's going to be basically like this. We've done another one already. I think you clearly could hear that we've done another episode and that we are really out of gas.
We shot our load.
Whatever you did in the washroom while we were at the white spot is your business. I just went in and washed my hands.
Mm.
But, you know, whatever you do to relax before the show is really up to you.
I wash my hands after.
I'm glad.
Okay.
We just went for a lovely dinner.
Yes.
With my wife Pia, my sister-in-law mm-hmm. Victoria.
Yep.
She told us Victoria told us stories from the set of the Bates Motel.
Bates Motel
where
stories.
She's been working.
I believe she signed a confidentiality agreement. But,
right. And I didn't. So here's the thing.
Here's the story.
There are three Norman Bates. That's the thing.
Wow.
I'll just letting you know that.
Okay.
That was the spoiler she let us know. The mom had three sons named Norman, so you do not know which one is mm-hmm. the actual Norman Bates who's
sure.
going to become the psycho.
That's right. Too many Normans.
Right. And the mom is actually a twin. Hmm. And the lady who gets stabbed in the shower, she's a triplet. How will this all add up? I guess we'll see.
1, 2, 3.
But there'll be a crossover with Hannibal. I'll let you know that much.
Oh.
That's my spoiler. None of that. No, she's just working as a PA on that show, so we heard stories.
She's a public address system.
And let me just say, what I think we've learned is, no matter where you work, there can always be one jerk who messed things up for you. We're not going to say who it is.
No,
we're not
going
to mention
no names.
We're going to mention no names.
No names.
But whatever workplace you have,
mm-hmm.
someone can jerk it up for you.
They certainly can. You know, it's funny, where I work, there's so far no one like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That, like, you know, is like a real jerk or a real, you know.
There's a cast of colorful characters.
There is a cast of colorful characters. I will give you that. There is one guy who is a born shit disturber.
Mm-hmm.
Just likes
and that's
to.
You.
He likes to stir it up. No, it's not me. He likes to stir it up. Likes to tell people one thing.
Yeah.
Tell someone else something else and kind of get stuff going.
Right.
He enjoys that sort of thing. Not in a mean way, but just in sort of a silly way. You know?
Okay.
Like one guy who had quit had left for a while and he came back again. When he came back, the guy who's a bit of a shit disturber told him that I had declared myself the king of the dunnage wraps, that I was the best person at doing dunnage wraps.
All right, you're the king of the dunnage wraps.
The dunnage wraps.
Dunnage wraps.
Yeah.
Now, what is a dunnage wrap?
Well, when we ship doors outside of the city, like so it's not being picked up by a local installer, we make a package of the door and all the hardware.
Now, you're selling doors, you're selling garage doors.
Selling garage doors, that's right.
Clarifying.
So we take a scrap piece of door that's the same size as the piece that the doors that are going
right
for the bottom, and then we sandwich it with another piece of scrap door that's the same size
okay.
for the top. We wrap that with strapping.
Right.
Sometimes we put plywood on the sides to protect the sides of the doors, the edges of the doors.
Right.
Sometimes not, but we wrap that, and then we put the hardware on top of that, and then we strap the hardware to the door. And sometimes it's fun. Sometimes you get one that's like a lot of stuff that has to you have to fit on, and it's a, kind of a puzzle to try and get it all to fit and be neat looking, and you know, and then also that it can be checked.
Yeah.
Right? The person.
Yeah,
who checks
I only have
stuff.
One question about this.
You have many questions. I'm sure.
Who,
so interesting.
Who would be the king of the Denage wraps?
Who would be the actual king of the Denage wraps?
Yeah.
Well, if such a thing actually mattered.
Oh, well, Dave, don't play politics.
I know.
Don't
I
play,
would still.
Luckily, you're a straight shooter, Dave. Don't be doing this if it mattered.
I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to say there's another person there who can do them faster than I can.
Okay.
But. I'm a neater Dunnage wrapper than he is.
Okay.
And I'm also more creative in how I place product into
So this is
packages.
Sort of like you're comparing yourself in a way that someone would compare another lover. This guy can get it done faster,
yes.
But you're more creative.
I'm more creative. That's true. That is true anyway. You're right. I live that example through my whole life. You could do it faster. You know, you could get title cards done quicker, but I do them more creatively.
There you go.
So this is how it is. But so, you know, just an example. That so the guy who came back was kind of a little peeved because he's a competitive fellow, you know, who felt like his supremacy was being challenged. And so he spent a lot of time, but he was just joking, right?
Did you have a rap battle?
There's a lot of, well, that's how we settled it, obviously. We had a rap battle. We had yes, that's right, a Dunnage rap battle.
Yeah.
I get it.
Did you not get that in the first time?
It took me 1 hour.
No,
that's
you're
okay.
not the, Dave,
you know what?
You're
I
not the fastest.
Deal.
You said you're not the
fastest.
The fastest.
I am just the, not even creative, apparently. I didn't even notice that coming at me. But yeah, just stuff like that. He likes to kind of get in and mix it up. But it's, you know, but he doesn't do it like in a mean way, if you know
right.
what I mean. It's not, it's just then a teasing, kind of silly stuff like that. And, you know, it's funny, like, I think as a group of people, you know, every group has its alpha males or its alpha people. And then there's always a poor guy. There's always someone who falls to the bottom of
sad
whatever
sack.
Organization, the sad sack, the, you know, and often they're, you know, it's always unfair. But at the same time, often they kind of do stuff that sort of, they just put themselves in the target. They don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what's going
it's
on.
It's unfair.
It's
but
often
they had it coming.
It's not that they have it coming,
they
but it's often,
it.
Yeah, like, well, the one that I'm thinking about at our work, he has no sense of humor. Like, you can make a joke to him, and he does not know it's a joke.
You mean like that rap battle thing we did?
That rap battle joke, the same way I am, yeah. So, you know, like, and even if you're just teasing him, right? If you just said, like, if you said, oh, could you help me with these doors? You're like, sure. And then you walk over, and it's a 16-foot door, and you're like, oh, I didn't say yes to 16 feet. And then you turn around. He actually thinks you're going to leave.
Mm.
Like, that you're just not joking around. Like, you know, he's actually, no, I need help. Well, yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. Like, well, calm down. Like, but, you know.
And then you beat him up.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, give him a wedgie.
Call the wild.
Yeah, kick him a couple of times.
Kick him.
Internet shame him.
Throw him into a garbage can upside down.
Yep.
Roll it down the ramp.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that.
Yeah, there's no jerks at your work
I don't
that
know
you
why
can see.
I haven't seen anyone. Admittedly, the mirrors are broken in the bathroom.
That's right.
I broke them. Here's the thing. I feel like if he was attacked by someone outside of our group, the group would defend him. You know
sound
what I mean?
Like that Coca-Cola ad.
I don't know
with
what
the brothers. Have you seen that one with the brothers?
No. Nope.
Here's the way the brother ad goes. It's sung about, hey brothers are the brothers of brothers.
And it's a lot of brothers
and then,
in this
you see these younger brothers,
yeah.
A teenager, and the older brother is like bigger. And they're doing things like the bigger brother is taking his like headphones and putting them on a high shelf so he can't reach them.
Okay.
Kicking him under the table while he's eating. But then what happens is younger brother is drinking a Coke, and then some bullies show up. And they want his Coke, and they take his Coke. And then the older brother shows up and gives him the old, and they oh, we're scared. And they gives him the Coke back.
Yeah.
And then it's like, will the older brother take the younger brother's Coke? It's like, no, he gives him the Coke. It's like, oh, that's nice. He's drinking the Coke. And then the older brother slaps it up a little bit and spills it on his face. And the younger brother is like, oh, you gosh. And then he walks off. And yeah, it's that. It's that kind of loving,
yeah.
abusive relationship.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. that's this part
if the
of
outside threat came in,
group,
there would be even more others. But left to your own devices, Retropolis would eat itself.
group dynamics are a curious thing, I always find. I always, you know, as someone who, because, you know, when I started there, you're thinking to yourself, oh, well, I've got to fit into this group. And I'm pretty much going to be starting at the bottom.
Right.
And I have to, you know, I'll have to curry favor and kind of make friends and figure out all the way it works. And then I'll be somewhere in the middle, you know. Well, that's not how it works.
So let's look at something like, say, the Avengers. Okay. Yeah, the Avengers. So sure. Group dynamics are what they are. And the times that they're not fighting Ultron or what have you,
mm-hmm.
Who do you think they bully in the group? Who gets the
I think bully is an...
Okay, who gets mocked? Who do they mock?
Who gets the... Well...
I think they mock Hawkeye before they found out he had a beautiful wife and a family and had a great farm.
But here's the thing. Like, that show isn't... Or that movie isn't a realistic portrayal of how a group works. You know? It's a movie. So they gloss over a lot of elements of how...
So they group do party together work. And they have fun trying to lift the hammer
because
and
one
stuff.
Because one of the most important rules of any group situation is the 80-20 rule, right? That 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's just like a...
That's
a,
the Avengers.
That's a fact, is it?
Yeah, that's...
Iron Man does all the work?
I think Thor and Iron Man do most of the work, yeah.
What about Captain America?
Yeah, well, he's jumping around. He's throwing a shield. You know, he's not...
Well, that seems like work.
He's not bringing down the giant flying monster. He can't do nothing. He's down there going, okay. Hey, get all those people over there. That's him.
Okay.
I mean, even with Scarlet Witch, he's like, hey, why don't you contain all the gas in the building with your wavy arms, and then why don't you float me up, and why don't you do all this? And he's doing ping, 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 ping.
Yeah.
But yeah, Iron Man's doing most of the heavy lifting in that group, for sure. Okay. Hulk's there, but Hulk only shows up in the last couple of seconds.
Yeah.
It's basically an Iron Man-Thor show through the whole thing.
Like, maybe that is pretty realistic. So Tony Stark is the alpha male in the group. Or,
yep.
Not only alpha, but the dominant voice in the situation.
And then the strong, dumb guy, the moose of the group would be Thor. I would say that. Yeah. In the Avengers, would you say that Tony Stark is Archie or is he Jughead? Well, he's a bit of a hound dog, so that's more Archie.
I think he's more Reggie. But
He's Reggie. That's interesting. So Archie is Captain America. Reggie is Iron Man.
Okay.
Who is then Black Widow? Is that Veronica or is that Betty? And let me throw this out.
Yeah.
We also got a Scarlet Witch in there. Is she? I think she's Veronica. Because she's got the exotic dark kind of thing, right?
Well, I don't know if there's a real Veronica in that situation there. I would say that Scarlet Witch is more of a Betty, and that she's more of a bringer together of the group, if you know what I mean. Like,
right.
She tends to act as a mediator between different
right.
different
she yeah,
people.
She is. She's a child of divorce situation, try to get everyone.
Whereas and Scarlet Witch is more of your midge. Like, she's just kind of...
Oh, a midge.
She's just kind of showing up out of nowhere. And
oh,
like,
that's
who?
Interesting. Yeah, she's a midge.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. And of course, your Hulk is your moose who turns into Dilton Doily.
But that's probably, do you ever see Moose and Dilton Doily at the same time, in the same story?
Would be interesting. It's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation.
I think that they're...
You never see Moose beat up Dilton, even though you would think the jock and the nerd would be mortal enemies.
Doesn't always work that way.
Because Moose is always beating up Reggie for putting the moves on Midge.
That's more your dynamic. I think most cases nerds kind of get, like, you know, the rat-like scurrying nerds. They get ignored by the Tyrannosaurus Rexes usually,
right.
You know. They steal the eggs and they run away.
Okay, now I'm trying to think who Vision would be in this mix. He couldn't be, it might be Chuck.
Chuck.
Chuck is the African
kind of a colorless. I know he's a, I know he's a colored character, but he's kind of a colorless
What'd
character.
What'd you say about Chuck?
He's kind of he's black, but I mean, the character itself is kind of a...
Yeah, bland character.
Bland
yeah.
character, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give him a Kevin Keller. Yeah, he did. So anyway, you found your clip for the opening of the show to get this show taken off the air forever. Maybe a Kevin Keller, except that you know, he'd be romantically interested
in
Scarlet Witch. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm sorry if I offended anyone with that. It just seemed like the two words went together.
We're moving on. We're living our lives. I think we've broken down the Avengers characters quite well.
We broke down the color barrier.
We sure have. We've actually had the creator of Kevin Keller on the show.
We have. Yes, that's true.
We've been on the we've done the show so long that you cannot mention a topic that we have not had someone on.
We should get Dan on the phone and ask him more detail about
it. Okay, let me get Dan on the phone.
Here's the thing. She is a midge, but here, who's the Scarlet Witch? Sabrina. That seems kind of obvious.
Oh, for fuck's sake, she's Sabrina. What are we talking? 1 second. I'm gonna get Dan on the phone. Hold it.
Sorry, everybody. I know there is people who are so mad.
Hey, hello. It's me, Dan. What?
In New
What's
Jersey.
Going on? What's going on? I'm just by the turnpike. What's going on? What do you guys
I think
want?
That's where he said he lived.
I got tickets for Hamilton. I'm going across to New York City.
Or was
it
Pennsylvania? Where does he live again?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I'm by a turnpike.
Seemed like some
guys, help me. I'm by a
left.
Turnpike. Guys, rats have taken my phone.
It's all
rats
turnpikes.
Rats are taking my phone.
It's the East Coast. It's all turnpikes.
That sounds like Dan's phone was taken away by some rats.
That's too bad. I'm sorry we woke him up.
Here's you know they got that show Riverdale that's coming out, right?
No.
Okay. There's a show shooting, I believe, in town.
Okay.
Called, maybe it's not shooting in town. It feels like it is. Yeah. It sounds like it's the kind of thing they would shoot in town.
Sure.
Riverdale. And
if you see a sign with an arrow pointing and it says Rida, you know what it's for.
Yeah, it's a dramatic Archie show that's coming out.
Sounds.
And they've got Sabrina in it, which seems like a weird call.
I love how much you hate magic and things.
Yeah.
It kills
me. You got like one damn character who's like made of magic. And it's like, knock it off. How do we solve this problem? I don't know. The omnipotent character? No. We're going to solve our own problems. Why? Why do you have to do that?
Because
how are we going to solve this problem, Star Trek The Next Generation?
Here's the thing.
Call Q. He can do anything.
Here's
the end.
Wait.
Problem solved.
Wait. Here's the thing.
Hey, Great Gazoo. What are you up to?
Here's the thing.
Hey, Batmite.
I think we can agree.
Yeah.
The magic never works. It never works out the way it's supposed to. That is the essence of Sabrina. That is the fact of Batmite. That is the reality of Mr. Mitzblick. That is just the reality. Like, none of that shit works.
Hmm.
So you can say, let's have magic fix the problem for us.
Right.
But magic always screws it up.
Fair enough.
So it's, you know, I think you'd learn your lesson one or two times in after rubbing the monkey's paw. You go, okay, let's not make any wishes on a paw.
So
let's solve this ourselves.
Is this really gonna screw up that Doctor Strange movie then? If magic doesn't solve anything, he's
I think that's gonna be part of the story.
Everyone's fucked.
Yeah, that's gonna be part of the
story. Yeah, it's gonna come down to him just having to punch a dude, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's what's gonna be. Here's what I wonder. You know, because he's got to
do
all those...
so many interesting hand gestures.
Well, here's the thing about the hand gestures. I was thinking about was like, so he does all these hand gestures when he's doing his spells. What I'm thinking, and I've never seen this in the comic. And hey, folks, tell me if I'm wrong about this, if they've done it or not.
Oh, you're totally wrong.
Okay. But the whole thing about Dr. Strange is he was a surgeon. He was a great surgeon. He gets a car accident, really mangles his hands. They try to fix his hands. They can't. I wonder if they have a thing where, because of the way his hands are mangled, now he can do these spells that no one else can do because his hands are so fucked up that his fingers are twisted in a way that no one else's hands could be.
No, I don't
and
think
it's like, oh, yeah, there you go. You can now you got magic fingers and you can do these kind of things. And also massage. He can massage like nobody's business with his magic fingers. But yeah, now his hands are all weird and twisted and now he can cast a spell and defeat your Baron Mordos and whatnot.
Good Frank Zappa song.
What's that?
Magic fingers.
Very good.
200 more tells. Okay, I'm just going to, as far as like ideas go, that's really dumb.
Why is that?
Just to have an accident because you magic fingers.
Well, I don't think the magic.
I think that's silly.
I don't think it gives you magic fingers.
No, that's what you said.
But because his fingers are so twisted,
he can
put them in positions that other people cannot.
Mm.
We'll see. Let's see if that's what they do in the movie.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. Not.
You know what? I made a bold prediction about a movie called Batman v Superman a long time ago where I went, they're going to become friends at the end because both of their mom's name is Martha.
Oh.
And everyone went, talutalay. Ha 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 ha. They laughed. And then a year later, well, that's your third act. Boom. There.
You know what? If you'd made it.
Mic drop.
No, here's the
thing.
Done. If you'd made that prediction in less time than it took for the screenwriters to steal it and incorporate it into their film, I'd be more impressed.
Possibly. I also suggested, hey, why not shoot Jimmy Olsen in the face in the first 5 minutes? That's a good way to start a Superman movie.
Is that how it starts?
Blam. Blammo.
Spoilers, everyone.
Blam. I'm glad he's still fine in the Supergirl show. And he's and actually, we were talking about that over dinner. Quite like the Superman in Supergirl. Oh, no, that'd be awful because they're cousins. No, Superman appearing
in the show.
In the show,
visiting
Supergirl.
The city she lives in.
And it's nice seeing Glamourville. A Superman that acts like Superman.
She lives in Glamourville, right?
Yeah, that's it.
She
lives in Ladytown.
Ladytown.
Yes, sexist.
That's where super people go.
Yeah.
I was thinking she works at a magazine that's like a glamour magazine, right?
Sure.
Isn't that true?
Kind of glamorous. Yeah, I guess
Catco?
So. Catco's.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I don't really watch the show because I find
you dislike women.
I find the tone of that show. No, I like women.
It's a fun bouncy bounce fest of bounce.
It's well, no, I find the tone of all those shows, not just that show, but Arrow and Flash and stuff like that. There's something sort of bland about them that kind of it just doesn't do it for me.
I can see what you're saying. I do like I like myself a Flash and I like Legends of Tomorrow because that one's just crackers. I think the best of the... Oh, it's tough to say what the best of the bunch is. Probably Flash is the best. Supergirl is the most likable lead character. Legends of Tomorrow is crazy. And so I'm like, well, this can't possibly work. And I like it because of that. And then, you know, you got to Arrow. And they actually had Ragman appear in the show this week. And I watched a bit of that. And I used to like Ragman as a character. So
Did he speak in rhymes or is that a different character?
That's a different character.
Okay. I watched it because I was actually sick on Tuesday and I couldn't get off the couch. That's weird stomach cramps. So I was just kind of curled up watching television and I thought, oh, well, I should watch Supergirl because I think this is Superman's going to be in this season. So I started watching it and he was. I'll spoil it for you guys. There's a space shuttle kind of thing and it conks out and it starts to fall towards Earth. And as soon as that happened, I thought, oh, Superman's going to be in this episode. And I was right. See, there's predictions for you. I can make them seconds before they happen. But I enjoyed it because, you know, he flies up. Supergirl's already there. She's like holding the nose of the space shuttle to keep it from crashing. And he flies up and just kind of stops alongside her and says, "Hey, cousin, do you need a hand?" She's like, "Oh, I thought you'd never ask," or something, you know. And then
this looks like a job for us.
Yeah, that's right. And so he flies around and he does something. He does his own thing. He uses his super breath to blow out the fire and they save the day. And they save the day. And then she says, "I've always dreamed of us working together." And he says, "Me too." And I just like that. I like that there's not like some fake thing like where she's like, you know, "This is my, Glamourville's my city. You go back to Metropolis where you belong." And he's like, "I will go wherever I want.
Go back to Penisburg.
Go back to Penistown. Go back to Brutville." And he's like, "No, I can go wherever I want. I'm Superman. Don't give me your lip." You know, just that kind of garbage. No, it's just like...
Well, I like the beforehand, he like goes up and like, "Do you need a hand?" He's asking for permission.
He asks permission to help her,
because she's busy doing this. And like, "Oh, yeah, please."
Yeah.
And then I like that they land.
I don't want to step on your feet here. You know, if you need help.
That they land and there's some people watching and then they turn and like, she says, "You know, I usually stop and say hi." And she goes, "Yeah, me too." It's like, so they just start to talk to the people. They're friendly.
Yeah, it's not a gloomy... Yeah.
You don't have to be Batman. You don't have to just fuck off.
I like that.
It's nice.
There's lots I liked about that episode, actually. Like I say, I find the show, the tone of them is, I find a little bland.
I was worried through it that Kat was going to leave, because I was thinking like, oh, well, I don't know if Harrison Ford will visit her in Vancouver, and she's married to him. So,
okay.
Yeah, maybe she'll leave. No, she's in the show. Good. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because why not? Be in the show.
Yeah.
Everyone, be in the show and have fun. And And once again, our city is it's not Metropolis. What am I thinking? Oh, yeah, it was Metropolis. It started off with him in Metropolis because he was there outside of the Daily Planet.
Okay.
Which was across from the library, which is in everything.
Yes, library is a beloved.
Our library is in everything. And it's like, hey, we're Metropolis again. Hooray.
Cool. And then he flies off. Very quickly.
And then at the end, it's weird because he goes like, you know what? Maybe I'll hang around here a while. Mm-hmm. Like, why? That's a weird thing to say.
Because he kind of likes that cat.
You know, I understand he likes cat. Well, he likes Lois. He's in relationship with Lois. But what do you mean? You don't have to hang around. You're just over there. You're Superman. Yeah. You can get here in 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be anywhere.
But he wants to be with his cousin.
Yeah, he's gonna
do some cousinly things.
I'm gonna visit more.
Yeah.
You know, not I'm gonna hang around and get an apartment here. There's no reason for you to do that. And make a second.
I gotta move into your apartment.
Awkward. Until I'm up on my feet again. It's like, uh-oh, something's wrong. Yeah, Lois has put him in the old Fortress of Solitude again.
Perry and I had a falling out, and Lois and I always. Not,
that's one thing
working.
You got to give Wonder Woman. It's like, you got Superman. It's like, I need a Fortress
Wonder
of
Woman?
Solitude.
Real name, Linda Carter.
There you go. You got Superman with Fortress of Solitude. And Batman, I got to live in a cave under the ground. I got to live in the Arctic away from people. And Wonder Woman, hey, how you doing? I'm just here.
I'm just here.
Yeah.
But she does have that pretend jet she flies around in, which is a little alienating. I think it's just to kind of gaslight people for that long. Seems kind of dickish.
I wonder if they're going to use the old invisible plane in the new movie or not, or if that's just too weird an idea.
Well, the setting, it's the invisible biplane.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, she just came out as bi, so that does work okay.
Did she?
Yep. They just made that a thing.
Yeah.
Which is, and here's, okay.
You'd think the superhero would be more decisive.
I don't think that's how it works. In fact, I know that's not how it works. In fact, that's not how it works. Though it is a weird idea that, you know, the idea that, okay, she's bisexual, all right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she's never seen a guy ever.
Okay.
In her life.
Yeah.
She's just been on an island.
That's right.
Well, she's not. She's just whatever they're...
They have magazine subscriptions.
She's not even gay. It's like there's nothing. She's just when there's no other choice,
yeah.
You're not. There's just another option has just showed up.
But I wonder if there's like But there's probably women on this island.
Yeah, you're having sex with them.
No, but I mean, there's some that aren't interested in women.
Okay.
So they fall outside of the norm.
That's possible.
And they're excluded from everything.
I don't think they're excluded.
Yeah, they get made fun of.
I don't think that's how that works at all. They're fine with asexuals on the island. They've got their act together. Mm-hmm. They're very enlightened.
Yeah.
And all that kind of business.
There's a lot of lady prejudice.
Here's the problem I have, and this is a weird problem to have, but here's the problem I have with it. Because it seems
with
like
who? With what?
With Wonder Woman being bisexual.
Okay.
Because
indecisive, that's your problem.
No. Jesus Lord, that's not how it fucking works. Here's my problem is Superman, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are the three main characters, right?
Yes.
Superman is heterosexual. Batman is heterosexual. She is bisexual. Mm-hmm. Now, because they're heterosexual, it's not that big a deal if they have a relationship with someone that doesn't work out, have something doesn't work out, it's fine.
Yeah.
But because she is such a predominant character who is now, representative,
yeah.
She's got to have relationships that actually have a little bit more weight to them and work. And she can't because she is one of those linchpin characters that really can't commit or pin down. It's like when they had Superman be married, then they had to have Superman be unmarried later because Superman, at some point, you've got to go, fuck it, reboot.
Yeah.
He's not married. Now he's just dating Lois again or dating Lana or something. Batman, okay, well, he's married to Catwoman or he's fully committed to it. Nope, fuck, reboot. Got to reboot it because it has to. So if you got that with Wonder Woman and she's dating a woman and then you go like, nope, boop, reboot, it's different. And it's that's not good. And that's not a good thing to do because you've got to treat that more realistically than you have to the other linchpin characters. And so it's tricky. It's tricky how you're going
to
deal with that.
Why do you think you have to treat it more realistically? Like you can't, you mean like you can't reboot it and have her?
Because it matters. The relation, because the relationship is.
Do you mean matters symbolically or politically?
I think it matters
or
to people.
Socially?
I think to the LGBT community.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got a character who is in a relationship,
okay,
and she's a predominant character.
Okay.
She marries Catwoman. Okay, so she marries Catwoman. She falls in love. They have a thing. Catwoman, they're together. And then you do what you did with Superman, which is reboot.
Forget. But what if they reboot it and it just starts it starts like another kind of relationship cycle with another woman? Would that be wrong?
Well, this is the trick then. It's like
because that's essentially what they're doing with Batman, right? Like once you reach that point of or Superman, once you reach that point where they're married,
yeah,
like the story kind of ends in a way. Like it kind of that's
they
how,
have done
that's
weird.
How
they have done weird shit in the comic recently where it's just so confusing. Where basically the Superman who was married from the old Earth shows up on the new Earth and the Superman who is the new Superman dies. Now he's taking their place. It's a bunch of malarkey.
I was thinking that word.
Yeah.
I should have said it.
Darn it's me. Just it, the fantasy confusing comic book icon elements don't work when you're dealing with something that's so new, I think, to the general public and has to be. It's like if you have a character who's gay and then they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no, that's terrible. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that feels like a step back for sure. And I agree with you there.
Right. And so it's really tricky business.
But I don't think it's a problem if you one is that throw out the bi and just have her gay.
Right.
And then just have, if you're going to reboot it into another relationship.
Yeah, there
that
you
go. You go through those stages.
And then it's tricky because then what do you do? Like, so she's married to Catwoman and then the next time is she seeing Steve? She could be seeing Steve Trevor. Or what if she's just seeing Steve Trevor? And it's just,
it makes it
tricky.
That feels like a step backwards.
And, but the one thing that's kind of nice about it is the only other bisexual characters in the DC universe are Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman, who are all the sexy villains.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now you're not. Are you? Are you really? Or are you not? I mean, they do have some gay characters. Renee Montoya is a character in the Batman universe who then became the Question and then got rebooted. And now she's not the Question again because that's how the fucking thing fucking plays out. So, just, you know, and there's Maggie Sawyer, who's also was in the Superman world. But both of them are gay.
Okay.
Just, you know, they're gay. They're not bi. But when it comes to. Trying to think of Big Barda. No, she's. I don't know. She
in
might
Sinister
be.
Six, she had a relationship with. Was it?
No, Big Barda didn't. Big Barda is married to Mr. Miracle. There are a number of bisexual characters. You're right. In the Secret Six.
Maybe I'm confusing.
Catman is, but again, he's a villain. And he's bisexual.
There was Valkyrie in that? Was that
no, Valkyrie is a Marvel character.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think of who was...
There was Scandal. Scandal was gay.
But wasn't Scandal in a relationship with Barda in the series?
No, she was in Maxima. A redhead named Maxima.
Okay, but she was another big kind of character.
Yeah, like, she was a big character, yes.
Okay. Maybe that's where I'm confused.
But they seem to only play that with the villainous characters, like, are you bi? Well, you're a villain. So it is nice that they have a character who's bi who's just straight out hero.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a tricky thing to play just because of the conventions of having to be the icon.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to be on in a cartoon and you're going to be in this movie and you're going to be in this video game and you're going to be in all these kind of things.
Well, you end
and
up
they'll
with...
always strip the characters down to, you know, and reboot them over and over again.
Well, that used to be Dan Savage's complaint about bisexuals,
which was
that it was easier for you to not be gay than it was to, so you would just naturally, or you would just sort of become, you know, just you just become part of a heterosexual relationship because then society could accept that,
and how,
rather than go to the trouble of.
And how did bisexuals feel about that?
I think there was some.
Yeah, I think there was.
But this used to be an argument. He used to make quite a bit. I think he's changed his mind on it.
I remember basically in the 80s that a lot of people had that argument, and that was.
But I think it's true in this case where it's easier for you to ignore the bisexual element of the character, and when you reboot, you just. Have for going out with Steve Trevor, and then you just forget about the,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that is how the commercial element of it would tend to flow. And so you'd think it would be better if they just declare the character as gay, and then you are just set on that course.
Which would be a very bold choice. Yeah.
Well, it's a bold choice, but it's an interesting choice because it would follow like the history of her origins, which is on an island of all women. So that would be a natural state. She would not see it as odd at all. In fact, it would be interesting to have people's negative reactions to her and her feelings of just, well, this is just normal. Why is this even a question? And that would be interesting where it's normalized rather than seen as odd or whatever.
Well, there's another storyline, which is very interesting, which is what if you found out there was another sex? And you're introduced to that for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. You know,
I guess that would be interesting.
You know, if you go with the old Wonder Woman origin, because like they knew the gods were there, but the gods aren't humans, and there were male gods and what have you. But then you find out, oh, you know, there's this whole other world. There's this, you know, half of the population is something you've never seen before. Mm. How do you react to that? Do you react to that with prejudice? Do you react to that? Are you attracted to this? Is there something
you immediately want to get tied up and spanked?
Well, that did happen in quite a few of the old timey ones.
Seems to go.
That is the old ones.
But were the old ones, did they have that origin story of that full of an origin story for Wonder Woman?
They were always riding on kangaroos is all I remember. There was a lot of riding on kangaroos. Okay. And here was the origin story, I think, which was Hercules. They did know Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules
who wouldn't?
Was the villain, the big villain who, you know, was trying to get Hippolyta, who's Wonder Woman's mom's girdle or whatever, and he enslaved them and tricked them and said, you'll love me. And it's like, oh, I do love you. No, wait, I'm your slaves. Fuck you. I'm like, oh, damn, we've really been Donald Trumped. And so when they're chained, they lose their powers, and it's all because of Hercules, and Hercules is the big jerk. So they knew Hercules was a dude,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I guess he's a demigod, so he's...
Yeah.
But yeah, the only man they ever really knew was that guy, and he was a real asshole. Wonder Woman's origin was because her mom couldn't have a baby. There's no way to have a baby.
Yeah.
She made one out of clay. Then she went, oh, no, this is a dreidel. And she put that aside. Then she made another one. But then, oh, please, gods, give me a baby. And the gods, four of the gods went, yeah, okay. And they gave some powers to this baby made out of clay. And so Wonder Woman is made out of clay and doesn't have a dad. In recent
but
stories.
But she seems to have a navel. In the drawings of her.
You know what? I think the gods didn't want to... Well, here's the thing. The mom, not carved, but molded based. A baby. So I guess put a little navel
in there. Put a little navel. It's because they all had one.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would you?
But nowadays, they've made it that Zeus is actually her father. Which? Boo to that. That's... Because Zeus is everyone's dad.
Yeah.
That's God of War.
And he's gross.
As well.
He's gross.
He's gross. He's Zeus. Who gives a shit?
We all know Zeus
he's
is
Hercules'
gross.
Dad. He's everyone's dad. Fuck off.
Yeah.
With that. It's just more interesting that, you know, no, she doesn't have a dad.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't need a dad. She's fine. We'll see how the movie is.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, speaking of pop culture.
Speaking of pop culture.
We have a box of pop culture here.
From our friend, Kanan.
Yeah. Now, he explained to us actually what this was about. Because we didn't know last time. We just thought...
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second? I just want to say I had to link to the last two to his... website. I didn't realize that he had been quite sick. So I just want to say, hope you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Best wishes to you, Kanan.
Yeah, hope you feel better. Sorry about
sorry,
that, man.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go on.
No, that's, no, that was much more important. So what he has done is he has done two things. One is called Comictionary on one side with all these topics. And yeah. The other one is Popictionary. Now, we should have... And the,
Poptionary.
And the, Poptionary. Yeah. And these words are on pencils. We should have figured out that this was a Pictionary riff. We should have figured that out. We did not.
I've never played. Oh, I guess I have played Pictionary. I shouldn't say it, but
and so the idea is for people that are good at drawing and know pop culture, they could draw these pictures out and have a good time.
Yeah.
Instead, what we did was we just randomly picked things out and we used them as jumping off points for conversations.
Yes.
And guess what? We're going to do that again.
You want to do that again? All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
A little bit.
Sounds good.
All right. I'm just throwing one your way.
All right. You choose.
I'm going to choose number three.
Which side, Comictionary or Poptionary?
Let's go. Well, you know what? We've been talking comics for a while. Let's go pop.
All right. Well, here's so number three. Someone we were talking about tonight at dinner, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. He's in a lot of stuff.
Certainly suddenly become popular.
I think as soon as people went, we've had enough of Shia LaBeouf. They went, can we have something like that, but that's good? And they went, how about Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
What do you mean, the guy from the Third Rock from the Sun? Yeah. Okay. Let's give that a shot for a while.
Just in Shia LaBeouf's defense, if Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in the Transformer films, we would be equally sick of him. I like Shia LaBeouf in Holes. He's good in that film.
No, he's fine in Holes.
And
I would like Shia LaBeouf to be in more Holes.
I didn't mind his performance. I didn't like his character, and I didn't like what they did with him in the movie, but I liked his performance in the Indiana Jones movie. I thought he did an okay job.
See, now someone has said that. Dave has just said that.
I thought he did an okay job with that, which
Dave
was an unrewarding,
well.
Stupid,
there you go.
Ill-thought-out role in a,
that no
in
one
a
said
movie
before,
that's not that great.
Dave is saying him for the first time. There you go. There you are.
I'm gonna take unpopular opinions and I'm gonna wear them like a cape.
Here is my here's what I would like to see. I did not care much for the third Nolan Batman movie.
Who did?
People.
No, I don't think so.
It did all right. But
well,
what
they
I
all
would,
do all right.
What
doesn't
I
mean
would like
good.
To see,
yeah.
Because it ended in such a weird, I thought, dumb way, which is Batman just going, I quits, after I think fighting three villains just hurting his leg.
He already quit at the beginning of the film. He quit at the beginning of the film.
He just quits forever.
Comes back. Then he quits again.
Right. And then he says...
After he exploded over the ocean.
Right. And then he goes, you know what? Anyone could be Batman. And you're like, well, what about that Batman Begins movie where you had to train with the ninjas and do all the shit for forever
for a long
and
time.
Learn how to be Batman.
Yeah.
All the being Batman. In fact, even in this movie, you had to learn how to be Batman again and do all the jumpy boop. And he's like, anyone could be Batman. And says to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, you be Batman. Here's the suit. So long.
So long, sucker.
You've obviously had some police training.
Yeah, that's good enough.
So put on the suit and good luck to you. And now I really want to see the adventures of Batman who don't know what he's doing, Batman. The first
that's
time
called
he
Detective
tries,
Comics.
Yeah, see the first time he tries to jump off a roof and see how that goes and doesn't know how to turn on the cape.
Plunge.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to get out of a jet that's 3 miles over the ocean with three seconds left on the clock.
Nope.
He doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah, also, is he now living at the mansion? Is he now a billionaire? Did he just go, hey, you know, you're a billionaire now?
Yeah.
And do people then see Batman and go, because they got now a Batman sculpture, you know, honoring Batman who has died and Batman's dead. What are they going to think about the new Batman when he shows up? Like, yeah, you asshole. What are you trying to be? This guy who's the hero, you fucker.
Your voice isn't as gruff.
Yeah, you're not that guy. Boo you. Instead, you know, if you want him to be the new Batman, then don't say Batman's dead, you dick. That's completely wrong, right?
You have thought about this ill-thought-out movie way more than you should.
Yeah.
Because because
here's how the movie goes. First Batman adventure. Oh, no, he's caught because he's not good at it. Batman has to come back and save him. The end.
Well, I feel like, I heard that.
Is Alfred now his butler?
I heard that the original film was supposed to have more Joker, supposed to have more Heath Ledger.
Yes.
When Heath Ledger unfortunately passed away, they had to just like the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, they had to reimagine.
Yeah.
They had to reimaginarium this new movie, and then they put Bane in the film.
Yep.
Tom Hardy.
Tried his best.
Excellent actor. Not that great in that role.
Couldn't hear him.
Well, why would you want to?
Okay,
he was speaking nonsense.
So say you took Bane out of that movie and you put the Joker into that movie.
It would still be a terrible film.
Okay. But then how do you wrap it up at the end? Do you kill the Joker and then Batman retires? Because if the Joker's still around, you can't go, you be Batman now and you take on the Joker. Because that's a horrible thing to do, because you're going to die.
The tricky part was that I'm sure they still wanted to do the return of, is it Ra's al Ghul's daughter?
Yeah.
Is that who it is?
Talia.
Talia Ghul? What a name. I'd sue if I were her. Turns out it was Talia Shire, his actual name.
She was a groovy ghoul.
She was a groovy ghoul. That's a band, the Groovy Ghouls.
Groovy Ghoulies.
Groovy Ghoulies, but I just got like a compilation CD from a British music magazine.
You were just like a dog who heard a squirrel just there. You were very alert.
Anyway, so I'm sure they wanted that kind of tie up as well. So that would have been part of it, even with the Joker in the film.
But do you then kill the Joker at the end of the movie? Because that's the only way I can see that the Batman retires. Because if you just put Joker back in Arkham Asylum again.
Yeah, you could do that.
I guess you could. I mean,
there's another Batman to fight Joker. An ill-equipped, unable, unpracticed Batman who's going to get his ass kicked by his mental ass kicked.
I mean, that was the nice thing about the second movie was the Joker going, you know, I think we're going to be doing this forever, you and me. We're going to be having this battle back and forth over and over again. And, you know, that's a really cool thing to say. And it's like, yeah, he's not going to kill him. Mm-hmm. This is the way it goes. Of course, then the next movie, I quit. Bye, everybody. I'm off to France.
He's already quit at the beginning. That's what's even worse
with
that movie.
His knee hurts.
He's walking around with a cane.
On.
Got a big beard.
Oh,
looks like Howard Hughes.
What can I do?
Stalking
my
the
doctor,
desert
Tom Lennon
inn.
Says I got no cartilage left. I was like, oh, for crying out loud, that's your bat problem. For crying out,
I got bat problems. And then he has back problems.
Yeah, it does.
It really, it's just bad all right around. All right.
Also, he's good in. You were saying good in Inception. You liked him in that.
I love Joseph Gordon. I like Inception, but I think he's really good in that film. And the movie I like him a lot in is the film Brick. Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't yet.
It's really interesting. Yeah, it's like a hardboiled detective story, but told with kids in high school. So it has like this really artificial element to it, and then it has that weird thing where the school lockers are outdoors. I never get that. Like, you know, in Buffy the Vampire
California
Slayer.
Thing, yeah. You're
like,
that's real.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that make your stuff more exposed to like people like breaking in your locker and taking stuff out of it?
I would
like,
think so.
Don't leave valuables
also,
in your locker in California.
You know, he's a guy who doesn't look at all like Bruce Willis, but he plays Bruce Willis in Looper, and by God, he looks like Bruce Willis when he does it.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. I think you could just, you know, imagine that he turns into Bruce Willis when he gets older.
You didn't like the makeup?
I just thought it was kind of distracting. And when I look at him, maybe less, not Joseph Gordon. That's not what he looks like. Why does he look like a bird now?
I kind of liked it. Here you go.
He looks like a bird.
Pick another one out of
that. That is a good movie, though. That Rian Johnson, who did Brick and Looper, is going to be doing Star Wars.
Oh, nice.
Okay. You're supposed to pick one.
No, you pick it, and then.
Okay.
And then now you gotta say, do you want pop?
Let's do. We'll twist it here. We'll do comic. I'll do comictionary.
Okay.
Number four.
Number four, Planet Oa.
Okay, number two.
Planet. Oh, okay. I'm gonna just say quickly on Planet Oa.
Is Planet Oa Green Lantern?
Green Lantern.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Go ahead.
I have to talk about it. Well, my only experience with the Green Lantern is actually, two experiences, because there was an animated Green Lantern cartoon, right?
Sure.
Where they had
a couple, yeah.
There's a couple, but yeah. This is an older one.
All right.
When I was a kid. And I'm pretty sure he did like the whole like putting his ring into the lantern to recharge it. And I felt like.
The brightest day in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evils might beware my power. Green Lantern's light. I can do the Earth 2 version.
It's interesting that, you know, like, okay, there was a Spider-Man cartoon when we were kids.
Right, Ralph Bakshi.
Worked really good. When you watch it when you're an adult, it's really boring. But when
it
you're a kid,
it's around for a very long period of time.
long time. And where are the webs going? I have no idea.
And why is the sky like that?
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic. What a town. It's like hell. He lives in hell.
It kind of is. Spider-Man has died and gone to hell. Yeah. You're right.
But that the character worked really well on television. And I think, you know, kind of for me anyway as a kid, made me like Spider-Man because I didn't really like the comics. I didn't know the comics. And ones I read, I didn't like. So I really liked that Spider-Man from that. So later on when they did the TV show, I was like excited about it because of the cartoon, not because of the comic.
Right.
And same with Green Lantern. Like for whatever reason, they couldn't make the movie work. But that animated version of him is what I remember as Green Lantern. And I really liked it as a kid. And it really made the character interesting to me. And the reality is outside of maybe the Neil Adams ones with Green Arrow.
Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams.
Yeah. I mean, has the character ever been like that great a character or that interesting a character? Like, I remember reading like Green Lantern Corps because he used to give me the comps, and I just never could enjoy it because it's very dense and feels like you're, I always feel like you're missing. I don't understand what's going on. Like, why is everyone, why is everyone orange or something? But then, the animated show really like made the character interesting and come alive. I think because they could really do like his ring making things, like making a fist or making a whatever he made. I can't even remember.
Well,
now,
as a kid, you could imagine yourself like, what would I make the ring make? And that makes sense.
That's interesting. But the film fails in that at so many levels that it doesn't even like awaken your imagination of what the ring, like neat things you could do with the ring.
And the problem, I mean, when you're talking about Planet Oa, that was to me the biggest problem with the film, where in the trailer you see this amazing planet with all these incredible aliens, and it's like, oh, what's this world like? We're like, oh, you're saying he's going to be part of this police force that with all these
galactic
aliens,
police force,
a galactic police force, oh my God, that's going to be interesting. He's got to train with all these different aliens. He's going to be so fish out of water. What's it going to be like? And he just quits immediately and fucks off and doesn't talk to anybody. What the shit? So when I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, it was nice that they actually went to the planets and stuff happened. And there was, you know, you're in the prison and there's some aliens there and there's, you know,
interaction
and we're doing some shit. Mm-hmm. And the big problem with like Green Lantern is like, so like he should be the guy who's the rebel who, when he goes to the planet, everyone there, either one of two things, you either have the aliens are all making things with their rings that are so alien because they're from their culture that it's all different. And it makes sense that everyone from like all these different cultures, so they all got something to add and they got a different perspective, or everyone there is just so lockstep that you need the rebel to come in and go, no, man, this is how we do it. And he learns to work with them, but also they
learn
to be
creative. Really
hard
to rate. Sounds really hard to
rate. It sounds like every fucking movie in the world is what it is. So, so yeah, so he, you know, he shows them, you know, a little different perspective.
Is
thing
that is that the problem with a film like Green Arrow,
Green Lantern?
Fanforestick, or sorry, Green Lantern, Fanforestick. Films where...
Fantastic Four?
Yeah, Fanforestick, the most recent one.
Sure, okay.
The problem with those films is that rather than be, like, stick to the character and, you know, do... You know what I mean? They try and change it in a way that they're like, oh, we're going to do something really different. And you're like, yeah, but that's
what's
not...
What's it buy you?
What's that?
What's it buy you?
Yeah.
What did you trade this for?
What did you get?
Like, what'd you get?
We really like the character. That's why we're here. We're here to see these characters be these characters.
All right,
and then
Fantastic Four. They're all bummed out about being Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've taken that away from us.
So what's good about that? Mm-hmm. What's interesting about that?
Yeah.
The problem with like the Green Lantern Corps is you've got now 1,000 characters with the exact same superpower.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, what if Superman was on a planet with 1,000 Supermen and he was part of that team? Oh, well, who cares? Because they're all the same shit. What's that matter? It's almost the opposite of the Legion of Superheroes, which is like you're part of a team, but everyone's got radically different powers and different costumes. Everyone's wearing the same suit. Who gives a shit if it's a fish with a ring or it's a crab with a... Well, I'm going all seafood right now. Or a guy
Let
with a
Let your imagination
ring.
Run.
Yeah.
A catfish with a ring.
Or a tuna
a dolphin
with a ring. That's right. They've all got rings. You got a ring. It's just it's a snooze, you know? And it's too bad that they didn't let the imagination kind of go and have fun with it, because Oa was really where you could have like gone, all right, this is different.
I guess you're right. I mean,
all these aliens working together, maybe even having to share fucking barracks. It's an army corps where everyone's from a different fucking planet.
Sure. Full Metal Lantern.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't get better than that. Here we go.
All right,
I'm gonna choose. Pop and pop. One.
I don't even know what this means. Baymax.
Baymax B-A-Y. Is the is
Michael
the
Bay.
Character. No.
IMAX films.
No, it's the lead character in that Disney movie.
Big Hero 6?
Big Hero 6, yeah.
Or Big Hero 10?
He's the... I like that he was a medical robot.
Yeah, I liked his character. I liked his voice. That he's a very calm... that's kind of a fun film, actually. I enjoyed that.
I
watched it again the other day because Eve was watching it. So I did that thing where you walk by and you're like, oh, what are you watching? Oh, Big Hero 6. Oh, well, maybe I'll just sit down for a minute and this is a good film. I'll watch all of it.
Here's a little trivia for you. It's based on a Marvel comic. And aside from, I think, the Baymax character, nothing's the same about it at all. They just chucked everything out and just rebuilt from scratch with the name.
When I was watching it, though, here's the interesting thing. It's in, I think that's called San Tokyo, San Francisco. And I realized, this is the same universe as Man in the High Castle.
Why is that?
Well, the Germans and the Japanese have won the war. And so they have San Francisco, California is part of the occupied territories of Japan.
Sure.
So yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Same world.
Well done.
No problem.
Anyone disagrees with that, please write us.
Glad to help.
Well, actually, you've got to pick from the pack.
Pick from the team.
See, folks, it's this easy. It's either this or we're talking about Donald Trump again, who I assume by this point in time has just imploded completely. I just assume he's opened up, he's torn open his stomach and a bunch of rats have just come out and all run off and go, ha-ha, you fooled you again.
That's right.
All right, do you want pop or do you want comic?
Let's do pop this time and I will. I could have drawn Baymax and made it. If I knew what it was, I couldn't remember. Okay, let me see. We'll do three this time.
Okay, we have got Halle Berry.
Mm.
You looking Halle forward Berry. To that Jinx movie coming out sometime?
It's going
to
come out real
that,
soon.
That Jinx movie?
There you go. There's an example of a Jinx that she ruined Pierce Brosnan's being James Bond because of that final film that she was in with him. That was the end of his career as James Bond because it was so terrible. Well, I mean, it wasn't all her fault. It also involved him windsurfing with the canopy of a convertible Volvo. That was also an invisible car that he drove through an ice hotel.
Yeah.
What a movie.
Yeah, there was a... There
What's
was
weird about that film is it has that great sword fight sequence in it, though.
Oh, with Madonna.
No.
Yeah, Madonna's there.
But she's in the scene, like, just standing
yeah,
around
has,
watching?
She hands the swords out, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's Madonna.
Okay, I forgot that. Oh, that was like her little bid to be...
Yeah,
she does this theme song, and that was her cameo. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's... Pierce Brosnan against someone else.
Yep.
But it's a great sword fight. Like, it's a good scene. It's a good sequence.
Yeah, it's grounded.
But so many other...
It's grounded.
Yeah.
And then that's where it's got to go. It's got to get grounded. You can't just go invisible car.
Yeah.
We're done. Invisible car, we're done.
We know how Ian feels about magic.
Yeah. That is basically like, what have you got for me, Q? I have a wizard's wand, Mr. Bond.
Yeah.
And,
It just feels, yeah.
Bond chooses the wand.
It doesn't, It did not... Did not make me happy that
so film. Halle Berry won the Academy Award
Academy
for
Award.
Monsters Ball.
Yeah. I've never seen that film, so I cannot comment on her sex scenes.
She starts off sad, gets sadder, has sex, is sad some more, and then is kind of sad.
Mm.
And to me, and this is just from my... Listen, I've never won an Academy Award.
I've never even watched the show.
You've never watched the Academy Awards?
No.
Very good. But here's the easiest thing I feel to play. This easiest thing to act.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sad, okay.
From the time you're a child,
yeah,
you can pretend to be sad. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get candy.
Your parents give you stuff, that's
true. Yeah, because you look sad.
That's true, you
mope
around.
Everyone can be sad. Sad is the thing.
Yeah, mopiness is pretty easy to do.
For acting, you've got to like then vary it up a bit and be like sad with the level of this and sad that turns to happy or sad that turns to rage or mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
But she just felt like, it felt when I saw that movie, I was like, oh, she's just consistently sad through the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, that's not that hard. And then they gave her Academy Award and it's fine. Whatever. I mean, awards, what do awards mean?
Yeah.
Whatever. And it led her to do Catwoman, and I think we're all better off for that.
That's some great film.
And Swordfish. She's, what is it? I think she's the best part of Swordfish. She's not the best part
of Swordfish.
The
two best parts of Swordfish.
Oh. Didn't that seem sad? Didn't seem sad? Like, I'm all for nudity.
She got paid a lot for that.
But didn't it feel like when she showed her breast that you just went, cha-ching!
Yeah.
Just like you just needed someone to just come out, write a check, and just give it to her, and she'd go happy now, and just look directly in her eyes, and like, but still be topless, and we're all feeling ashamed of asking for this. Like, are you happy now? Is this what you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
You happy now? Mm-hmm. I'm an actress. Are you happy now? Then puts her top back on, and we all feel bad, and we leave the theater. Just everyone feels bad about the whole thing.
I saw it
in
home video, so it's fine.
Yeah, fair enough. But let's just go with Catwoman for a second.
I've never seen it.
Holy moly, that's
maybe
terrible.
I have seen it. I think actually I have seen part of it. Does she pretend? Does she get cat-like in it, where she's like cleaning herself with her hands?
There's a lot of business. There's a lot of stuff.
Terrible costume.
Yeah, it's like they went, okay, what do you like about Catwoman? Oh, her relationship with Batman and being in Gotham City and her being a cat burglar and doing all that. Okay, well, no. It's not doing that. It's just sort of like a cat a bit. And, hey, you like that woman who plays Lois on Family Guy? She'll be the best friend and just be like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
oh,
and
okay.
She'll be there and she'll be comedy relief when she's
great.
Catwomaning around. And
that's great.
Oh, God.
You know what I like best about that film is that it was filmed in Vancouver, as most films are.
Right.
And they actually shot a sequence out on the outside of Chapters on Robson Street, where a former friend of the show, David M., worked. And what's really great about it, though, is that there's a letter burnt out on the Chapter sign. Like, did they know a movie was going to be filmed? Like, wouldn't they take the time to replace the bulbs in letters?
Did it spell out something like in the Batman Returns where it was like, hello there, went to hell here?
Yeah, no.
No.
It was just missing the E.
It felt like...
Made it like a cooler chapters, I guess, because it was missing the...
It kind of felt like that movie is like, so you've never seen anyone play Catwoman before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could take something from any of them. They all did a great job up until this point. And it was even like a thing where like, oh, well, you know, it's nice that, you know, a woman of color is doing this and she's playing... But she's not even the first woman of color. Like there was in the Batman series.
Yes,
there was. You know, there was already an African-American Catwoman, which to me still is...
Yeah.
No one
Nina
raised...
Nina Simone, right? Nina Simone.
Yeah, it was Nina Simone. No one raised an eyebrow about that back in the day at all. Still, to me, I'm just like, well, that's, you know, whenever they talk about Uhura kissing Kirk and that's a big deal, it's just like, you know, Catwoman just changed race and no one gave a shit. And she was still flirting with Batman and no one gave a shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Good on you. But no, this is something, bless her. I hope Halle Berry finds a good project. And, you know, she had a TV show, right? It was that one where she went to space and then came back pregnant.
Yeah.
Was pregnant.
She's not, no insult to her, besides the fact that I'm insulting her by saying she's not much of an actress. But other than that, no insult.
Yeah. No,
but I don't think she's like the strongest actress.
She might be a good person.
I'm sure she's a great
person. Maybe she does stuff for charity.
We all know how great celebrities are. They're such nice people.
Right. Comics.
Donald Trump.
Number two.
Comics, number two. Oh, I like this topic. Fantagraphics.
Oh, Fantagraphics. You've been to the Fantagraphics store in Seattle.
And
I've never been there.
I was surprised. They only sell Fantagraphics books there.
What?
No one else's books.
So you couldn't buy a Catwoman comic
there? We can't buy a Catwoman comic there.
Hmm.
And I say, thank goodness. I grew up at a time... My comics life went like this.
Okay.
As a child, Mad Magazine, Richie Rich, Archie... That kind of stretched out reading the digests into my teens.
Right.
A little bit.
Took
into
you
my
a long
teens.
Time to read that one digest.
You know,
they're thick. Took a couple of years.
Hundreds of pages of fun. And then.
Don't tell me how little Jinx ends.
I stopped reading them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lost interest in that kind of stuff. Became a man.
And you put away childish things.
Put away childish things, like Richie Rich comics. And then I met you, and you said, Dave, do you like comics? I said, I do like comics. So what do you think of superhero comics? I'm like, I've never really read them. You're like, here, take all my comics in a shopping bag, go home and read them all in one sitting.
And you formed a nest with them.
That's how I kind of got back into comics. But really, although superhero comics are okay, mostly I like the artwork of particular artists. And I would be really interested.
Little Sienkiewicz.
Yeah, the Bill Sienkiewicz New Mutants. And I liked, what's his name? The double-barreled guy who did Machine Man. That one. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Barry Windsor-Smith.
Yeah, Barry Windsor-Smith. That was. Yeah, I really like the art. That's what I reacted to more than the story. So when I started going to comic book shops and discovered like Love and Rockets and like the Fantagraphics books and stuff like that.
Now, was that the first of the Fantagraphics books you kind of got turned on to was Love and Rockets?
No, I think I didn't like Love and Rockets right
neat
away.
Neat stuff.
Because I was turned off Love and Rockets by the fact that I thought they took their name from the British band. I didn't realize it was a vice versa situation. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Gilbert Hernandez, one of the Lost Bros Hernandez who do Love and Rockets. And I mentioned that to him. I said, for the longest time, I wouldn't buy your book because I associated it with a band I didn't like. And he went, oh, I never thought about that. He goes, oh, maybe we should have been a bit more forceful about them not using the name. They said, we were just kind of flattered by it that someone would use the name, but at the same time, But like I probably read Mr. X, the Vertigo or Vortex. Vortex.
Dean Motter and Seth at the time?
No, it was the first two issues were by the Lost Brothers Hernandez did the artwork for it.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And then mostly Jaime, I think. It had more Jaime to it than Gilbert. But so that was probably where I saw it first. And then I was kind of finally broke down and I bought the first collection of Love and Rockets and thought it was great. But yeah, before that I was like neat stuff. And what else did they do? I mean, I read a lot of stuff that was like weird, like Delgoda, which is like a dog
Lloyd
in space.
Llewellyn.
Lloyd Llewellyn. I love Lloyd Llewellyn. Dan Close. Yeah. Even before, I still have all the issues of that. So like Fantagraphics is kind of almost one of those places where like if it said Fantagraphics on it, it would probably be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and so like Sinner, the South American comic book
by
the guys. Remember that the, I can't remember the name of the artist now, but Keith Giffen ripped him off. Remember there was a big controversy about him taking the guy's style when he was doing Ambush Bug?
Yeah.
And his style went from that kind of very normal DC style and suddenly became this weird, very dark.
It wasn't just style, like he would take panels.
He would
like
take, just... yes, and redraw panels and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
He became that big a fan of this guy that he's just like, oh, I just gotta make it look exactly like him by taking it and and copying it. Not that that was unusual at the time.
Okay. I remember like getting my first issue of Hate, Peter Baggs, and mm-hmm. it was just interesting having like there was a story in the back of it where it was Peter Bagg or Peter Baggy.
Yeah.
And let's just say Peter Bagg. Let's be sensible.
Sure.
And he's talking with Kim Thompson and Gary.
It's the first issue. First issue.
They're on an island.
Hate Island.
Hate Island.
Prisoners of Hate Island.
Prisoners of Hate Island.
Yeah.
And just talking about how he doesn't know where he's going with his life and what does he want this comic to be.
Yeah.
And it was just nice. It was just interesting at that time having that kind of meta.
Yeah.
You know, talking about like, well, it should be this and it should be this and it should be this, and mm-hmm. you really kind of got to know Kim and Gary.
Yeah.
Out of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then Hate became really great. Like, mm-hmm. it was such a good comic.
Yeah.
You know, he took Buddy Bradley from his, you know, from Neat Stuff, which was, you know, just a dysfunctional family that was very yeah. exaggerated. And,
yeah.
you know, dad had punched the kid sure. and be crazy bananas. Yeah. And it really grounded it more. And it just took it to the next level. And it's always interesting seeing an artist do that. Just mm-hmm. like, I'm going to take this. Now I'm going to hone it. And I'm going to trim the fat.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to focus on this. And let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
And it was a really great ride. And at the same time, Dan Klaus was doing 8-Ball. Which was, you know, as good as Lloyd Llewellyn was, this yeah. was, again, trim
yeah,
the fat,
step up,
tighten
yeah.
it up,
sure.
you know, going to experiment with some stuff with, like, the Ghost World stories mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to make my own Mad Magazine. That's what he decided when he did mm-hmm. 8-Ball. But, yeah, what's interesting with Peter Bagg, or Baggy, is...
Let's just say Bag.
That's what I always said when I was growing up, so...
Yeah.
I was like, no one could possibly be named Peter Baggy. It's right. Peter Bagg, who I knew before he started. I knew him from Weirdo because after Crumb quit editing Weirdo, he turned the editorship over to Peter Bagg, who then kind of changed the style of it quite a bit. But it was still interesting.
Yeah.
And he was doing his own kind of thing with, I can't remember her name, Ramona Batona or whatever it was called, Maroney. Ramona Moreau, you know.
I would know if you hadn't just said all this nonsense.
talk, nonsense words, yeah. But she did. He did his own kind of like. It was obviously something that kind of would have run in like kind of alt weeklies or whatever as a four panel thing in the bottom. But he kind of made them all like pages and pages of them in Weirdo, and it was good. But it was a change of people though. Like instead of you know the kind of band of idiots that Crumb was using, he got his own band of idiots to fill Weirdo. So I think some old-timey weirdo people got all upset and stuff like that, but it was an interesting
changeover. Yeah, it was a really good time where it felt like the popcorn was just about to pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then with 8-Ball and Hate, it really felt like it was popping, and yeah, then you got like Terry yeah. LeBond doing Cud. And again,
yeah, that was
Hernandez
was good.
Brothers are doing Love and Rockets, mm-hmm. and they just keep it coming, keep yeah. it coming. There was just so much good stuff coming out of all that.
And then even more important for me as some was Comics Journal.
Which had been around long before that.
Been around a long time, but it, you know, but that was something that I you know religiously read. I read it with a Bible in one hand and the
yeah, that's right. You'd swear on it.
I swear on it. I would read it while dressed as a priest.
You make people hold it to see if they're vampires.
I took it to church and read it there. I would read it like every month, and I just loved it. I would just read cover to cover, and you know, no matter how dense it was, and that was a magazine that was full of words. You yeah. know, so you had your. You had the letters column that was like more dense than War and Peace.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, you know, and it would have these long debates between different writers and readers or authors. And, you know, there was the famous James...
Strum?
No. The James Kochalka,
okay.
Jim Woodring craft battle over what
talking
was...
Talking about craft.
Talking about...
Speaking of which, Jim yeah. Woodring, his book, Jim, again, an amazing...
Yeah, another one that was Fantagraphics, where you're just like, I don't know what this is, but it's Fantagraphics.
Everyone's just taken another artist with a giant leap
yeah.
in quality, and everyone was just leaping at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And just doing their best work.
Oh, man, you could make a list of so many great artists, not just at Fantagraphics, but all through that time period where it just seemed like there's all these people that were just like waiting for the opportunity, and that's what the Black and White Boom was we talked about a couple of shows ago. They just gave all these guys like not just them but Seth and Chester Brown and Mary Fleener, who I still love so much, her art style and everything.
Yeah, the comic
Slutburger, yeah, great comic. That was, and she drew this great image that if I was going to have a tattoo, that would be my tattoo for sure. Just this fantastic image on the cover of one of them. And yeah, just that was just a great time, like to read comics.
It felt like with the Comics Journal, like up until that point, it felt like they were mostly slamming Marvel and DC.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this
there was
is
a
garbage,
time, yeah.
this is trash. This
yeah.
is gonna...
yeah.
And they go off and they have a good time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Fantagraphics, you know, these comics like
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Hey, A-Ball, blah, blah, Jim, came out, it was like, oh, because well, you want to go like, well, what's the alternative?
Yeah,
what do
yeah.
you got? And it's
yeah,
like, well, there's a book from Kitchen Sink that's coming out. Yeah, that's fine. One or two books from Kitchen mm-hmm. Sink.
Sure.
That's fine. But then it was like, oh, shit, this could be the alternative. And
yeah.
it felt like no, we're actually going to put our money where our mouth is. We're going to do the good fucking comics
yeah.
that we've always said could be done.
Yeah.
Here we go. And it's like, geez, right, man, this is some good stuff. And then the Comics Journal really got some good interviews then it felt too. And
yeah.
and that fed back into that. And it just kept building and momentum and momentum. And then what do you think happened?
Well, the comics time stopped being a comics time. Like,
well, because you know, they were able Dan to kind Klaus of kept doing his stuff,
but people lost.
Dirty Plot was another,
but that was a
that was Drawn and Quarterly. That was Drawn Quarterly. I apologize. Yeah, Drawn and Quarterly kind of came at the same time,
yeah.
like or slightly after, which, as you say, had Seth doing Palookaville, had Chester doing Yummy Fur later. You know, some other work, and then you had Dirty Plot, and even the Drawn and Quarterly, you know, anthology itself. This all kind of fed into, oh, this is the next yeah. thing. This is the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they did okay, but I don't think they're ever like were doing gangbusters. In fact, I know for a fact that Fantagraphics, that Amazing Heroes, is what fueled the company for a long time in the 90s.
Which was a magazine about, which wasn't which the edited Comics by, Journal. It yeah. was the edited by Kim pro Thompson. Comics.
Yeah.
yeah.
It was kind of pro and pro superhero comics. So yeah. it was a lot of superhero information and stuff like that. And it was edited by Kim Thompson.
And when did they go through the period where they started Eros Comics?
That came after Amazing Heroes stopped. Once Wizard came out, Amazing Heroes kind of lost its place as a go-to.
Which Wizard was then the glossy version
that's right.
kind of Amazing Heroes.
And it was
Heroes.
Even more rah-rah comics than Amazing Heroes. Like at least and, Amazing
and
Heroes ran.
And if you
ran.
Liked fat and gay jokes, was it the magazine for you? Holy moly.
I never read it, but
man, boo.
so yeah, then they had to turn to Eros Comics. So they started publishing porn comics as a way to keep the rest of the company afloat. And so
but it was the a lot of them were the artists front like Gilbert Hernandez did.
Gilbert Hernandez was very early on.
Birdman.
That was very
Don
early
Simpson
on.
Simpson did one that was like
again,
a Frankenstein one.
Early
yeah.
on in the
and
in
then
the
you got shit like Time Wankers.
Mm-hmm.
And
just went
like,
on from there. I mean, you know, if you were interested in porn and comics, there, you know, there was
and
interesting
the internet
stuff.
Really wasn't some providing it yet.
Some of it was interesting. I mean, Frank, I can't think of his name now, who used to do like Gita and stuff like that. You know who I mean? Gita.
No, I'm not sure, but okay.
But he did some porn stuff, and he was quite a good artist. Young, which is, I mean, there, it was porn. Yes, it was porn, but it was still, a lot of it was well drawn. Some of it was garbage. But there were some interesting things that kind of came out of that. When it was very early on, it was basically like it print anything and it would sell. And then later on, as that market kind of started to dry up, they had to be more selective in what they did. And I think what kind of killed it for them was in the late 90s was the end of people's interest in alternative comics. That market kind of started to dry up. Like people, and you know, it was kind of their own making as well. I mean, they weren't very productive and they weren't very regular, and it just became harder and harder to maintain that. And then there was a shift away from.
There's kind of that for mainstream comics around that time, too.
And then to shift away from floppies into graphic novels in the 2000s, suddenly the graphic novel became the thing for everyone to do. And it wasn't just Fantagraphics and D&Q and stuff doing it. It was Random House and. Abrams and stuff like that were doing these graphic novels. They were kind of dipping their toe into this, and so it became way more competitive, you know. And this wasn't economical for the artists to do, even if they like to do floppies. I mean, look at someone like Seth now. He still does Palookaville, but now it's a once a year publication in a hardcover,
right?
You know, that still serializes Clyde
for
fans.
A while. Peter Bagg tried doing Hate as an annual. I don't know if he's doing that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, like, so it's, you know, the whole, there's just a huge shift in how people read comics.
Right.
And I think that kind of affected Fantagraphics. But I mean, Fantagraphics is still around. They've been saved time and time again by this like, God just kind of stepping in and going, no, not yet. I'm going to give you porn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God loves porn, obviously. I'm going to give you porn.
That's why I made Adam and Eve naked.
I'm going to give you peanuts. This thing's to start with P. That's what I'm going to give you to start. Because the next big thing for them was when they got peanuts from the Schultz family. Gary Groth was able to convince them that they were the ones that would do the best job
reprinting
Peanuts. And it's true. They did do the best job reprinting Peanuts. They did this chronological, you know, from the very earliest strips all the way to Schultz. I don't even know if they're finished yet, but it will go all the way to Schultz's death. And, you know, so it's this And that's been a huge money spinner for them because it's so
mainstream.
Popular.
It's as mainstream,
as you can get, and it's
and
very
Seth
popular.
And Seth designed the
Seth did the covers for those.
Now,
yeah.
I think something
and really good. I don't always like his book designs, but those are really good.
Now, something we didn't really mention with the that was going parallel in the 90s
the
was
the Albert Speer of comic books graphic novel design.
You heard it here first and last. in the 90s, you also had. You had a boom in the independent books as far as like Image and whatnot. Okay. That was where you had a boom from like the Rob Liefelds and Todd McFarlane's where they were doing a lot of work for Marvel and they're selling like you'd have like the X-Men selling like a million copies, crazy amount, huge amount.
That was at the height of the investor.
That was the speculator boom. Yeah. And then they got out right at the time where they could actually make some dough.
Yeah.
And then you know you had Image, you know, as the big kind of indie. But that also kind of gave the illusion that indie comics period might have been a way to go. So I think there's a little bit of like fanagraph, you know, so you get a comic book store going, I guess it isn't just Marvel and DC. I mean, I've got to order some fucking Image, which takes you down the Diamond catalog where you're like, well, what else is there? Mm-hmm. Okay. And well, it looks like this Fantagraphics book's selling pretty good.
Yeah.
Hate selling like, well, okay, 8-Ball, shit. All right. We'll sell some of this. Yeah. And, you know, and I think it might have rid that a bit. And then, of course, like the Image stuff all goes bloop about the same time as Fantagraphics does.
Yeah.
And around that time, too, even Marvel is like, I think they declared bankruptcy, you know, so it looked like Marvel was going to go under and it didn't really come back until like the movies set them straight.
Yeah.
So it was like a rough time for comics all the way around. Yeah. But like, so where are they now?
But like you know, I was just thinking also like when they centralized the distribution system, when Diamond took over the distribution system for everything and Capital was gone and the smaller players
were
gone.
Yeah.
It became harder for Fantagraphics to get their books out because there was a limited series of channels. There was no more Bud Plant who was would be willing to ship anyone's books out.
Right.
You know? Where are they now? Well, I think they're stronger now in a way in the sense that I think they kind of have figured out to a degree. I mean, I think they're more professional than they were in the 90s as well. Mm-hmm. I think part of why didn't they work well in the 90s? Well, because they spent a lot of time going to a local gravel pit and shooting guns. You know, rather than working on developing product and getting stuff together, they were, you know, assing around like
feeling, which there usually is, that this will last forever.
Maybe.
You know, so we just keep, so why change?
Why change? Yeah.
You know, and then you become comfortable and then things change.
I mean, it's hard for something like that. I mean, I think you still have it. I lent it to you a while ago, but before Kim Thompson passed away, he put out a few books of bande dessinée that he loved and he translated into really good, really nice translations, really nice packaged books. Gilles Jourdain, the Maurice Thieu character, and then some Chlorophyll, I think her name is. I can't remember who drew those off the top of my head, sorry. But so he did a few of those, you know, where he grew up in Europe, and so he could speak German, French, and Spanish fluently. So he was able to, you know, translate these books quite ably. I guess he also spoke Dutch because he translated some Joost's Voort as well.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
But yeah, so that was kind of an interesting place that they were going. Unfortunately, I think that's stopped now that he's passed away. But I think that for all these publishers, whether it's Drawn and Quarterly or Fantagraphics or whomever, it's easier now with the graphic novel thing because less in your production schedule. You're not having to do a certain number of floppy comics every month. That's out of the picture now. You're just doing a novel, graphic novel. So you've got your three or four big releases in the year. And so you gear up for those. And then you've got your kind of ongoing things like Prince Valiant, which has always been a big money spinner for them. Mm-hmm. The Peanuts ones, Pogo and stuff like that they're doing. So those are big library sellers and stuff like that. So those are always bringing in money. And then you've got your you know, your big kind of throughout the year, kind of big things that are whatever, you know, the name of, you know, the kind of big name graphic novel is going to come out. But it's curious, like Dan Close is no longer with them. He started with them, but he's no longer. He publishes through DNQ now. Mm-hmm. And even like Gilbert Hernandez does a lot of stuff through DNQ. He's not solely through Fantagraphics.
Yeah, he also just did a Vertigo book.
That's right. Yeah, Tarun Cook. That's right.
He actually just did one. Sorry, I'm trying to remember what it was, whether it was Doom Patrol. It was one that was like a very recent one where he did a backup story that was a Space Ranger story that was quite funny. Yeah, that came out like last month.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I was listening to an interview with him. He said it's very hard to do stuff for DC, for him, just because the way he works. It's, you know, they're just kind of like, no more big breasts. That's enough, Gilbert.
Well,
stop
it was just
it.
About a little alien, and there was a bunch of little bunch of aliens in it. So
yeah. No, he's really.
If there were breasts, you couldn't recognize.
He's really,
them as
he's
such.
Really good when he reins it in a little bit. I find his stuff in Love and Rockets now is like so. It's so becomes so fetishized to the point of almost you feel like you're watching someone's mental breakdown.
Even the ghost of Russ Meyer goes, "Okay, that's enough.
This
of
is
that.
Enough. This is too much. Like how many Fritz Jr.? What happened to Fritz? You know, whatever." It's crazy. It's crazy.
And that's the story of Fantagraphics. Ta-da!
And they also sent me a rejection letter one time.
Even though you didn't submit anything.
I didn't submit anything.
That's how bad David is. He gets rejection letters from people.
I am that
when
terrible.
He does not submit.
Yeah. They just send it to me. Just cut me off of the pass.
Yeah.
I heard Dedrick might be thinking of sending us a submission. Quick, send him a
no!
rejection letter. Quit it. Stop drawing.
That's right. And now here's all these girls
your anatomy's
that don't want to,
terrible.
Who don't want to dance with you, and they're going to tell you it. I'm not at the dance. I know. They just wanted to let you know in case you were thinking of coming to the dance.
That's right. Just got the telegram. David, stop. 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 Okay.
All right.
You choose one?
All right. One last one then, because, you know, we're good. We're good for time. We're doing good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we're about an hour and 15 minutes deep. All right.
I don't think so.
All right. So what are we? Oh, am I supposed to? I'm supposed to hand this to you. Oh, wait, or was
cheated.
I? Which one of us?
Yeah, yes, it's... Oh, no, no, it's... I was supposed to pick it, but that's okay.
Okay.
Because you chose Fantagraphics
last
time. All
right, so you're doing Poptionary, or are you doing...
Oh, we'll do Poptionary this time, and I'll go number the bottom one, the last one, 5.
Okay.
Damn it.
You've got Sirens.
Sirens?
Yeah.
The I remember TV that show, movie. No, the Australian Sirens. Film with L. McPherson and...
No, here's what we got. We got Tamagotchi.
Did you guess...
Everything? Because that's what it was.
Did you guess ambulance? Because that's what that was.
Oh, cool. So Tamagotchi.
Guess ambulance, 2 drinks.
Digital
Tamagotchi.
Pet.
Yes, I remember my daughters had Tamagotchi.
Oh, did they? They didn't get like injections for that when they were young?
No, I don't. I'm an anti-vacker.
Okay.
I don't vacuum the house at all. They did play a little bit. I mean, you could buy like little cheap games that, you know, that had like these kind of really hard to tell what you're looking at images on a screen.
Right. And you had to feed them. You
had
to
feed
them.
You had to look after them.
Right.
Kind of like those gross other toys that those Furbies.
Oh, do you have to like take care of Furby?
I believe you do.
What happens? Does Furby die if you don't?
Furby just gets sad looking.
Oh, geez. I don't need to pass.
Starts molting. He starts molting in front of... No, I just remember him being like needing some active... He needed some active care. But he was such so repulsive that I don't know why kids would want to be actively caring for this thing anyway. You know, it was like a hard plastic toy.
Yeah.
So you couldn't like sleep with it. It would be like sleeping with a... Like
Are we talking Furby still?
I'm still talking Furby.
Okay.
It'd be like sleeping with like a, I don't know, like a waste like a plastic...
Oh, wasty.
Waste paper basket. Well, that's what the kids got because I was too cheap to give them Furbies.
That's right. Put your feelings
I just
in
glued
there.
My own hair to a waste paper basket. Now, Tamagotchi, what's weird is forever... because they were so popular, McDonald's, as part of their Happy Meals, gave away these little plastic Tamagotchi that you could came in an egg kind of thing. And it was actually just a keychain. So I just used it as a keychain for a long time until the girls lost it. But I haven't quite forgiven them for that.
There was a similar situation with the Sony Dreamcast. It's not Sony Dreamcast.
Sega.
Sega Dreamcast, where in the Sonic game, there were these little eggs that you could hatch and make little kind of alien creatures.
Yeah.
But you could also bring those eggs into the controller.
Yeah.
And you could then take the little part off the controller like it was a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
And you could like train it and do things and feed it
and
then put it back. And then it would show up in the game again and be stronger. And then you could set... They were all crawling like little babies, and then you'd race them and have them fight other babies, and you're like, "Well, this feels wrong.
This feels like a lot of work. I'm already a dad with kids.
Yeah, that's
I
the
don't
thing.
Need
you
to
are
be...
doing real life Tamagotchi.
I don't need all this Tamagotchi.
You're life
shit.
Hacking Tamagotchi.
But yeah, it was a real trend when the girls were in elementary school. So and what I remember about it is that it was annoying, and you know the simple fact is that if you had to rely on your children to take care of you, you would die. That's what you learned from that game. Yeah. There's just no way that kids have enough responsibility to want to look after pretend eggs. Like after a while, it's an onerous chore.
Yeah.
And then it's Tamagani.
Boom. Mic drop. All right. Wrap it up. Wrap it up, Pops.
I'm old enough to remember Tamagotchi, everybody. Isn't that weird? I didn't know who Baymax was, but I knew what Tamagotchi.
You knew what it was eventually.
I remembered, yeah. I did like that character. I like the sound effect.
In Canada, we have the Hudson's Bay Max.
Yeah. Nice. The Hudson's Bay Max blanket.
Has all those stripes, mm-hmm. stripes on them.
Yeah, yeah.
He got a beaver pelt.
I like when he's punctured and he's taping it up at the police station.
Yes.
It's a good sequence. It's a good film.
You know what's good in animation? When they do those slow takes.
Mm.
Just like.
Nice.
Everything's fast. Slow it down.
Do you mean like a sloth at a motor vehicle branch?
Yeah. Slow it down. Really everyone's having a good time. Slow
that's
it
really
down.
That's really good too. That's
right,
a good,
slow it down,
good
Dave,
sequence.
And tell everyone where they can reach us.
I'm going to slow it right down, everybody.
Slow down, Dave.
If you'd like to contact us, here's how to do it. One way, go back in time. Email us, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can go to our message board on our website, sneakydragon.com. You can go to our Facebook page, which is Sneaky Dragon. And we are on Twitter @sneaky_dragon. And you can also find us on Tumblr, where we cross-post, which is not the same as crossbreeding.
Nope.
Or crossfitting.
Nope.
Which is when you...
Or Stations of the Cross.
Or Stations of the Cross, which is basically the same thing. CrossFit and Stations of the Cross, same thing.
Yep.
It's a famous part of the Bible, CrossFit.
Yeah,
you
know.
You knew that?
Yeah.
Why did I say it then?
Nope.
So thanks, everybody, for listening to the show this week. We really appreciate it. This was a double episode for those who like to save them and listen to them at the same time. I hope you enjoyed this linked show. I think we made a reference to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's kind of a carryover.
He might not be around still, not because he's passed away. I hope that's not the case. The only way to kill that monster is by voting. I don't want him to drop out. I don't want anything to happen. The only way
you want it to be an honest ending to this
it
whole...
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. Otherwise, it's Dracula. And you're like, how'd you kill Dracula? Oh, I shot a bullet in his head. Nope. No.
Work that way.
No.
Work that way.
There's one way to get Dracula.
Yeah.
And you got to vote him out.
You got to vote him out.
That's what you
got to do. Stake
to
the heart.
America has to go, no, we don't do this. This isn't us. And that's the only way to go, poof, with that monster.
So Dracula you kill with a stake to the heart? Kill Trump with a vote from the heart.
Right on, man.
Groovy.